Good morning. Good morning. The time ran out on me. I'm over here just chit-chatting. We're so glad to have you here this morning at Living Hope. And I just want to say welcome. And I would like to greet you with a greeting Christians have been using for a very long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Can we pray just a minute before we get everything started? Lord, we are so thankful for today. We're thankful for the beautiful day that you've given us, for the sunshine and the little bit cooler weather, Lord. We are very thankful. Thank you for gathering us here this morning together as a community and as a family, Lord. And I pray that you'll be with this service, be with everything that is sung, everything that is prayed, everything that is said. Lord, and thank you for inviting us here, inviting us to your table. And for all of this, we give you glory as we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, you might have noticed that Missy's not here this morning. She's under the weather. But we've had some folks, a couple of them live with me, who have agreed at the last minute to fill in for Missy so she can rest and be better. But they're going to need your help this morning. So if you are interested and able and would be willing to stand up and sing with boisterous voices this morning, we would appreciate it. And we're going to turn it over to the musicians now.
Hello, good morning, everyone.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my faith on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail? Yeah.
not going to fail. He's not going to let us fail. Get us through these songs and everything else. So thank you. He's pulling it together. It's God.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me.
Everyone needs forgiveness,
the kindness of a Savior. Salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. dreams and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave.
Father, how awesome was it this morning to just hear worship fill this place? To know the mighty name of Jesus. To know that there's no mountain in our lives that you can't move. You are powerful. Father, you're just so good to us. We see time and time again, you just continue to show up in our lives, Father. Despite the situation, you're always on time. Even when it feels like you're not on our time, you're on your time. And it's so beautiful to just see you work in our lives. Father, we just thank you so much this morning for everything you do. For the salvation that you've given us, that you are quite literally the only thing we have in this world where you've come down and said, it's all right, come to me. That's all you need to do. You don't need to do anything else, but just come to me. What a beautiful gift that is. Father, we thank you for Pastor Judy this morning as she gets ready to just preach your word. Father, let it resonate in our hearts. Let it just speak to us, Father, and just continue to let your spirit move in this place. Amen. May the peace of the Lord be with you. May we pass the peace.
Okay, as we're kind of finding our seats again, there's a few things that we want to let you know about here at Living Hope. One is if you need to get a message to the office or to one of our pastors, there's a couple of ways you can do that. The first one is you can go to livinghope.info/connect, fill out the connection card, and it will automatically come to the church office, and we will see that, and we can respond to that right away. Or we've got some green cards back on the table back here. You can fill that out and drop it in the offering box. And also, if you are willing to give this morning, First, we want to say thank you. We appreciate it. It keeps the air conditioning on. If nothing else, it keeps the air going because, it has been toasty. And we'll leave it at that. But no, it does help us do the things that we do in the community and for our community and for our people. But if you want are willing to give this morning, you can do that also a couple of different ways. You can go to livinghope.info/give, or you can fill out a little envelope, drop your offering in that, and put it in the box there also. Couple things coming up. We do have our Living Hope's birthday, Sunday, September 20th. That's 2 weeks from today. We'll be celebrating our 26th anniversary as a church, our birthday as a church. There is a sign-up out on the desk out in the foyer. So if you're willing to bring something to contribute to the meal that we'll have together after the services, you can sign up there. I think that's all I needed to know about that, right? Because it's after the second service. It's all good. Okay. We got a Tudor Taco Tuesday. I love saying that. Tudor Taco Tuesday coming up September 8th here at the church. It's to benefit Northwest Indiana AAA? African American Alliance. I had no idea what that was for. And the Valpo PD. So I love that Jim Tudor does these, and they're always for a good cause. Those are two really good ones. And then our next Joyful Noise Worship Night is Thursday, September 17th, here at the church at 6:30. I do want to just draw your attention to one more thing. Porter County Healthy Families is having a baby shower. Now, it's not something you have to go to and bring a gift, but this is a way that we can help Porter County Healthy Families support local families by purchasing essential baby items through their Amazon wish list. There's a QR code out on the desk, out in the foyer, and you can, if you don't know how to use a QR code, ask somebody under 30. Just kidding. I know how to use QR codes, and I'm way older than 30. My kids are way older than 30. So, if you need help with that, we'd be willing to help you. But it's a way to help, families in our community that really could use a little hand up now and then. I don't know. I would have to check on used items. Okay. So, before we get started, first I want to caveat. I did a wedding yesterday, and it was outdoors with no microphones. So I yelled the entire wedding ceremony, it felt like, and my voice feels a little bit wobbly. So we're going to pray really quick, and if you would, just pray for me that my voice will hold out for this whole thing. Thankfully, I have a microphone, so I don't have to yell. But let's pray for just a moment and quiet our hearts. Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for these moments and for this time that we're gathered here together. I thank you, Lord, that you speak through so many different things, through music, through your word, through the words of other people, Lord. And I just pray that you would be with and in the words that are spoken now. For all of this, we thank you. We praise you and give you glory. Amen. Amen. Well, I really appreciated Pastor Rich's sermon series on love. I'm sure I'm not the only one. Did anybody else appreciate that whole sermon series? Yeah, Rich did. Yeah. He's sitting back there. It's kind of like being the teacher and having the principal in the back of the room doing an evaluation. Not really, but kind of. No. But I did appreciate that topic because no matter how many times I hear sermons about love, I find I still learn something new. And what's awesome, and I believe very much a God thing, is that where he ended the series, it very naturally segues into a passage that I've been wanting to preach for a little while, and today I get the chance. Now, Greg back there on the slides, he said, boy, there's not much in here for scripture today. It's going to be a short sermon, right? I said, don't be so sure. I said, it's a very rich, rich passage that we're going to look at. And I could actually probably do a whole sermon series just on this passage. I'm not going to. But we probably could. So it's going to be a little bit brief, I hope. No, it's going to be a little bit brief, but I hope and pray that that as we go through it, that we will hear the Lord's voice in our lives in it. So there are some things in life that we have to remind ourselves of. And depending on your age, probably more things than used to. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves where we parked our car or why we walked into a room. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves we already put the laundry in the dryer because we're standing there wondering where it went. Or more so, we have to remember to put the laundry from the washer into the dryer so we don't have to rewash it before we put it back in the dryer. Guilty. It is what it is. And sometimes, if we're really honest, we have to remind ourselves of something even more important, and that is who I am, who we are. Not my job, not my accomplishments, not my failures, not what somebody else thinks of me, not what happened to me, not even what I sometimes think about myself, but who am I? Because the answer to that question has a lot to do with the way we live. And that's where Paul takes us in Colossians chapter 3. He's writing to people who have already put their faith in Christ, okay? He isn't writing to people who are trying to earn God's love. He's writing to people who have already received it. And then essentially he says, now remember who you are. So let's read Colossians 3, 12 to 17 together. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, or another word for that is compassion. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whew, there's a lot there, isn't there? And we're going to unpack some of this morning. So Paul begins in verse 12 with these words. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves. I just want to pause right there. Just for a minute. Because before Paul tells us what to do, he reminds us who we are. We are the holy people that God loves. You know, Pastor Rich did such a great job of reiterating that to us. God loves us. Okay? And it's so important because Paul isn't saying act better so God will choose you. And he doesn't say be holy so God will love you. Okay? He says since God chose you, since you are holy, since God loves you, now live from that identity. Okay? And it's a very different way of looking at the Christian life that I think sometimes we get a little backwards. I know I have. We think Christianity is more about becoming good enough for God. We think if we pray enough, serve enough, give enough, behave well enough, read our Bible enough, don't lose our temper too much, don't mess up too badly, that maybe, just maybe, God will look at us and say, well, I guess you're finally worth loving. But see, that's not the gospel. The gospel begins somewhere else. It begins with God loved us first. God's love isn't the reward for becoming holy. God's love is what makes holiness possible. And holiness isn't simply avoiding bad things. It's God's gracious work of transforming us into people who increasingly look like Jesus. I know I've talked about that and I've mentioned that in prayer before, that much of our journey as Christians is looking and acting and smelling and sounding more like Jesus. I don't know what Jesus smelled like, but you get the idea, okay? In our tradition, though, we call this sanctification. It's a really big word. But sanctification isn't us climbing our way up to God. It's God continuing to work in us. Now Paul continues. He says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I love the picture that Paul uses here, because when we read this, did you picture, maybe it's just me, because when I read things, pictures pop into my head. It might be something I need to work on, but did you picture yourself kind of taking a shirt or a jacket and putting it on when he said, clothe yourselves? Just me. Okay, not just me. Good. Anyway, but this, it's a picture here that he gives us to clothe yourselves. You put it on. Now, most of us understand putting on clothing. We don't normally walk out of the house every morning naked, or at least I hope not. We get dressed according to what we're going to do that day. If we're going to go to work, we put on our work clothes. If we're going to go work out, we put on workout clothes. If we're going to work in the yard, we put on yard clothes. You know, for me, it's always my most worn out, ugliest, yuckiest clothes to work in the yard, because I know I'm going to get dirty and sweaty and, it's going to be nasty. So we clothe ourselves appropriately for the things we're going to do, right? And so when we put something on, we make a choice. And Paul uses this illustration to show that following Jesus works very much the same way. There are things that we intentionally put on, like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Now, these aren't just personality traits either. They're evidence of what God is doing inside of us as we intentionally put them on. They're not accidental. They're purposeful. The first thing Paul tells us to put on here is compassion. Now, compassion means I don't just see what somebody is doing. I begin to wonder why they're doing it. Maybe that person who's difficult isn't simply difficult. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe the person who's angry is actually afraid. Maybe the person who's distant has been wounded. Maybe the person who keeps messing up is fighting a battle that I know nothing about. Now, and compassion doesn't excuse everything. It doesn't mean we ignore sin or pretend harmful behavior is okay. But compassion changes the way we see people. Instead of asking what's wrong with them, we begin asking, I wonder what's going on. I wonder what burden they're carrying. Then Paul tells us to put on kindness. Now, kindness sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's also very powerful. A kind word, a phone call, a text, a meal, holding the door, giving someone your attention, choosing not to embarrass somebody when you could, choosing to speak life when criticism would be easier. Sometimes we think changing the world requires something enormous, some big act, but our faith is often lived out in small moments of kindness. You may never stand on a stage in front of dozens, hundreds, thousands of people, but you can make someone feel seen, you can make someone feel loved or valued, and you can remind somebody that they matter, and that is kindness. The next thing we're to put on is humility. Now, humility isn't necessarily thinking less of yourself. Humility is being free enough from yourself. I really like that phrase. Humility is being free enough from yourself that you don't have to be the center of everything. We like being the center of attention. Well, some of us more than others. But we don't have to be the center of everything. You don't always have to win. You don't always have to be right. I might struggle with that one. You don't always have to get the last word. And unfortunately, social media has not exactly helped us with this one, has it? We live in a world where everyone has a platform and an opinion. Everybody can comment and criticize. Everybody can tell everybody else what they're doing wrong. But then Paul says, put on humility. Because sometimes holiness sounds like, maybe I don't know everything. Or I was wrong. Or even, this one can be hard. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And sometimes holiness looks like not saying the thing that you absolutely could say. I know this is one that the Lord, man, the Holy Spirit, especially on social media, it's like, I'll have this whole answer all typed out, and man, it's awesome. And it's just, it's wicked smart, and it's, ooh, it's going to sting. And then the Holy Spirit kind of goes, Judy, Is that very humble or kind? No, probably not. Do you really need to send that? No, probably not. And thankfully, the Holy Spirit knows when to talk to me. He knows to talk to me before I send it rather than after. So, next we're to put on gentleness. Now, let me clarify here. Gentleness is not weakness, not in any sense. See, Jesus was gentle, right? But he was also incredibly strong. Gentleness means I have strength under the Spirit's control. I don't have to use my power to dominate anyone. I don't have to crush you because I'm angry. I don't have to make you feel small so I can feel big. I can be strong and still be gentle. That one's kind of hard sometimes to grasp, isn't it? Because when we think of strength, we think of power, we think of bigness, we think of overpowering and overcoming. But that's not really where the strength is. The strength is in our gentleness. And like Jesus, much like Jesus, who could have called 10,000 angels to take him off the cross, also was so gentle with the children that he said, oh, no, let them come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And then there's patience. Whatever you do, do not pray for patience. I stopped praying for patience a long time ago. Because we know what happens when we pray for patience, don't we? What happens?
They give you all kinds of problems to solve.
That's right. Stuff starts happening, right? We say, Lord, give me patience, and suddenly everybody in traffic is driving 20 miles an hour under the speed limit. Or you're already 20 miles over it, and they're riding you because you're not going fast enough. Not that I ever drive 20 miles over. I would never do that. Anyway, or the person in front of us at the checkout has a wallet full of coupons after they've checked out two grocery carts full of groceries, right? Or someone calls us and tells us the same story they've told us 14 times. And then we're standing there saying, okay, Lord, I see what you're doing here. Because patience isn't just about waiting. You know, that's kind of what we think is, I just have to be patient and wait, right? It's learning how to wait without becoming somebody you don't want to be while you're waiting. It's about waiting and being the person God calls you to be while you're waiting. And that, my friends, is spiritual discipline. Now, Paul continues. He says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Now, this is where the passage starts to get a little real. Because it's easy to talk about kindness until somebody is unkind to us. It's easy to talk about patience until somebody tests our patience. It's easy to talk about gentleness until someone hurts us. It's easy to talk about forgiveness until we actually have something to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending that the hurt didn't happen. It doesn't mean saying, oh, it really wasn't that bad, or allowing someone to continue abusing us. It doesn't mean removing every boundary. In fact, more often, forgiveness and boundaries have to exist together. But forgiveness does mean that I refuse to allow someone else's actions to determine who I become in Christ. Someone can hurt me without having the power to make me become someone Christ hasn't called me to be. I want to say that again. Someone can hurt me without having the power to make me become someone that Christ has not called me to be. And there is freedom in that. There really is. See, I don't have to carry that offense forever. I don't have to replay the conversation every night in my head. I don't have to keep collecting evidence. I don't have to keep score. I can put it in God's hands. Realizing that sometimes forgiveness is a process. I know I've shared a little bit about my journey with forgiving my dad. You know, and for those of you who may not know, my dad left my mom with four kids. When I was the oldest, I was five. And for so many years, I struggled forgiving my dad. I really did. But I knew it was something that I needed to do, I should do. As someone who was following Jesus, it was expected to a certain degree, but I struggled. I did. And I've shared briefly that at the death of my sister, and during that process of grieving and the shock and all of that, God spoke to me about forgiving my dad. And it was in that, in my own pain through that, that I was able to see my dad the way God sees him and able to forgive him. It was a process. At that point, I was 27. And don't think that it was a one and done, that I just forgave him and everything was fine. I've had to forgive him over and over and over since then, too. But because of the Holy Spirit and because of passages like this where I've learned what forgiveness looks like and what it feels like and how to put it on, I've been able to do that. Sometimes in this process, you have to pray, God, I'm not ready to forgive them yet, but I'm willing to become willing. Pastor Rich, you touched on this a little bit, I think just last week or the week before, it's kind of a blur, where you talked about praying for your enemies. Sometimes those prayers start out with, Lord, smite them, but eventually they start to sound more like, Lord, bless them. Now, finally here, Paul says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. We've just come through a season of talking about love. And I'm not going to preach another entire sermon on love today, obviously. This isn't just about love. But Paul tells us something important about love here. Love is what holds all of this together. All the other things, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness. Love is the thread that runs through all of it. Because without love, compassion can become pity, or kindness can become performance. Humility becomes false modesty. Gentleness becomes passivity. Patience can become resentment, and forgiveness can look a lot like pretending. But love binds it all together, and it what makes these things look like Jesus. Next, we read, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Now, that word rule carries the idea of making the decisions, which leads to the question, what gets to make the decisions in your life? Is it your anger, your fear, your pride, your hurt, your need to be right, your desire to get even, or is it the peace of Christ that makes the decisions in your life? More often than not, we know exactly what we're supposed to do. We really do, don't we? We just don't like the answer that we get. We know we're supposed to apologize, we just don't want to. We know that we should let something go, but we don't want to. We know we're supposed to have a difficult conversation, but we'd rather avoid it. We know we're supposed to forgive, but we're not ready yet. And what I hear Paul telling us here is to let Christ's peace make the call. Not our emotions, not our egos, not our woundedness, not what everybody else is telling you. Because even other Christians will tell you, you don't have to forgive them. Or other Christians will say, you're right in the way you feel or in the way you, what you've said, okay? But instead of that, we let Christ's peace rule and make those decisions. Then Paul writes, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. In other words, let Jesus get down into you. Let him seep down into your spirit, into your soul, and start to become part of your DNA. Let his word shape you. Shape the way you think and the way you act. Let Jesus shape the way you respond, especially when you're tired or you're angry. Those are the times I know I'm most vulnerable to not letting Jesus respond in peace. Help me respond in peace is when I'm tired or I'm angry. Let Jesus shape your relationships or shape the way you handle conflict. Let Jesus shape the way you talk about people when they're not in the room. Whew. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. I never preach a sermon up here that I am not preaching to myself. These are things that the Holy Spirit has talked to me about probably more than once. Definitely more than once. But because eventually what's inside us, it comes out. You know, life is full of pressures. And pressures, they don't create what's in us, but they reveal what's there. And that's why transformation matters. And that's why God isn't simply interested in getting us into heaven. He's interested in making us more like Jesus while we're here on earth, bringing the kingdom come and his will be done. And then Paul brings this whole thing home in verse 17. It says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Whatever. That's a big word. Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever it is, at church, at home, at work, yes. In the grocery store, yes. Driving your car, absolutely. When somebody cuts you off, yep. When you're exhausted, oh, especially then. When you're frustrated, even more so. When nobody is watching, still yes. When you're online, yes. When you're dealing with someone who drives you crazy, and none of us have that person, do we? There's not one, none of us have a person that just, drives you nuts. Definitely then, definitely when you have that person. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of Jesus. It changes the question, doesn't it? Instead of asking, can I get away with this? We can ask, does this represent Jesus? Instead of, am I right? We ask, does the way I'm handling this look like Jesus? Instead of, do I have the right to say this? We can ask, if I say this, what will people see of Jesus? Instead of, how can I win this argument? We can ask, how can I represent Jesus in this conversation? And that's a totally radically different way to live than what we're taught and what we see in the world. I think sometimes that we believe being a Christian is primarily about what happens here at church. We come here on a Sunday, we sing, we pray, we listen to the pastor, hopefully, we take communion, we fellowship together, and we do all the things, and all of that matters, but when we walk out the doors, that's where verse 17 starts. That's the whatever you do. Being a Christian isn't something we just put on for a Sunday morning. It's something we carry with us into Monday morning, to our jobs, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships. We represent Jesus in our parenting and in our neighborhood. You represent Jesus in the way you handle disagreement. Maybe it's with a neighbor or in the marriage. And you represent Jesus when you're hurting, maybe especially when you're hurting, because people are watching us. They're watching how we act. They're watching how we respond. Not because we're supposed to perform, but because our lives become a witness to what grace can do in us. So here's the question I want all of us, myself included, to take with us this week. That if I'm a representative of Jesus, representative of, I kind of slurred that all together. If I am a representative of Jesus, what does Jesus need to look like through me? Not what do I need to accomplish or how can I prove myself? How can I make everybody like me? But what does Jesus look like through me? Maybe this week it's patience or kindness or humility. Maybe it's gentleness or forgiveness or compassion. Maybe it's peace. If you need to, choose just one of those things. Not necessarily all of them. Because if we try to do everything at once, man, it feels like we could fail really quick. But if we just choose one of those things this week to particularly put on, every morning, before we start our days, before we get into the rush of it, just pray, Jesus, help me remember who I am today. Help me to represent you well. Help me to be compassionate, or to be kind, or to be gentle, or to be patient. And that's it. Because you don't have to fix the whole world, and you don't have to become perfect overnight. That's not going to happen. I've been in church my entire life. I accepted Jesus. That's kind of an old way of saying that, but I started following Jesus. I asked him to forgive my sins and to decided to follow him. We say become my savior when I was 8 years old. 52 years ago. That was a long, now do the math. But that was a long time ago. And man, God still has so much work to do on me. I still need God to make me patient and kind and humble and compassionate. I do. I always will, until I'm in heaven with him, whenever that is. So I don't have to fix the whole world or become perfect overnight. I don't have to manufacture this holiness through sheer willpower. I simply have to keep saying yes to the Holy Spirit as God continues to work in me, in you, because that's what grace does. So let me remind you just one more time. You are chosen. You are loved. You belong to God. You're being made holy. You are being transformed. You are becoming more like Jesus. And because of who you are, the holy people he loves, you don't have to spend your life trying to prove yourself or trying to earn God's love. You get to live out of the identity that God has already given you. And when you remember who you are, it changes the way you live. You put on compassion. You put on kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and forgiveness. And you let love hold all of that together. And you let Christ's peace make the call and let his word fill you. And then whatever you do or say, you do it as a representative of Jesus. So when you leave this place today, remember who you are. And then go and live like it. I invite you to pray with me. Lord, I thank you for this reminder today of, first of all, Lord, that you have chosen us as your holy people, that you have loved us even before we were holy, Lord. Before we knew anything about you, Lord, you loved us. And I thank you, Lord, that you continue to teach us how we can look and be and act and represent you more and more and more. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving it to us to try to figure this out, but Lord, you've given us your word so that we can learn from it, so that we can know what it is that you want us to do and how you want us to be, and then promising us the presence of your Holy Spirit so that we can become more and more like you as you transform us. I thank you for each person, again, that's here this morning. May each of us, myself included, Lord, allow this word to get down into us, to become part of us, and to infiltrate all of our thoughts and our feelings, Lord, and the ways that we act so that it can begin to change us into who it is you would have us to be. And Lord, this morning as we gather at your table, I pray this morning that you would forgive us for those places where we have not represented you well. For those times that we have said things or not said things that we should or shouldn't have. For those things that we've done or we've left undone that we knew we should or shouldn't have. And remind us, Lord, as we gather at your table that on the night you were betrayed, you took bread and gave thanks to God for it and broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, you took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Thank you, Lord, for your table, for inviting us here to it, for inviting us into this space, and for teaching us this morning who you are. And who we can become because of you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, if you would join me in praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, as the musicians come up again to lead us one more time, you are invited to come forward. I'll be here, and Pastor Rich, I would love to have you join me. We'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. If you can take that bread and dip it into the juice and then take the elements. There's some pita bread and some gluten-free wafers. There's also prepackaged elements if you'd prefer that, or there's some on the back too. But we just want to make sure there are no barriers here to anyone gathering at the Lord's table this morning. So as the musicians play one more time, you're invited to come and come feast at the table this morning.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And once again, we thank you. We thank you for the way you have been with us in the music, in the word, in our prayers, and at the table, Lord. I thank you for your Spirit who continues to transform us. So, Lord, take us from this place as you continue to do so, as you continue to mold us and to change us into the people you would have us to be. And for all of this, we give you honor and glory as we pray these things in your name this morning. Amen. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.